blazing God of the land. Are your garments but the sadly white and smoke? Are you washed in the blood of the land? Are you walking daily by the Savior's sight? Are you washed in the blood of the land?
Each one that's come out tonight, and over maybe few in number, but the Lord bless those that's made an effort to come out tonight. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians this evening, and I want to talk about throwing off the old coat. I know I've spoken about this before, but I felt just to mention it again. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 8. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that of our earthly house, of this tabernacle, we're dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let us bow our heads again this evening. And there is a lot of people sick, and there's different bugs and stuff going around. Samuel hasn't been too well. It's went through the whole family now, and Samuel got it. So we want to pray for them tonight. And there's someone that Stephen from Belfast mentioned, we want to pray for our lady that has cancer as well. I can't remember the name, but the Lord will know her. Praise God. And if you have a need, lift your hand up to the Lord tonight while every head's bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the word of God. We bless your lovely name, Lord Jesus, that for two or three are gathered in your name, that you have promised to be in the midst and that to bless us. Lord, we haven't come to meet so much with each other tonight. We do appreciate each other, but we've come to meet with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. and uplift your name and to speak the word of truth. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us tonight. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I plead your precious blood on all in this house tonight. And pray again for Brother Gary this evening. Give him perfect liberty in the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, we pray for this dear woman that Stephen Johnson mentioned. We ask that you'll touch her and heal her. We thank you for the testimonies for Jeff's dad, Jim, and for others tonight. Touch each one of them and heal them and make them whole in Jesus' precious name. We do pray for Samuel tonight and all the family that you'll touch them and heal them and make them well in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for my own son, James. You'll heal him as well. And Lord, that you'll give each one a mighty touch from God in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, close us in with yourself. Help us to say only that which you once said. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you as a testimony before I start. And I want to say this, and I won't give the details, but I preached a bit on this before, and I preached a bit on other things before on the second coming of the Lord. And I wasn't sure if I should preach on it or not. And I went away and prayed about it, even fasted a bit and prayed about it. And God let something happen to me that let me know I was preaching the truth. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail. I've told very few people about it. But I believe the Lord wanted preached. Now, I want to tell you this. You know the young man recently. I don't need to mention the names, but you'll know. He lost his daughter. She's 15 years old. When I say lost her, she went to bed, she never awoke. But she was a saved young girl, she believed in the Lord. And obviously him and the wife, it really struck them badly. But they're Christians, they're saved. Now I've met her husband several times recently, and he's trying to get on with things, and it's always difficult. You never get over it, you just have to live with some things. But the thing that gives him hope was she was a real believer in the Lord. This young woman. So, his wife never dreams, but this fella does dream. And his wife, unknown to him, prayed. And she said, Lord, give my so-and-so a dream. I won't mention his name. And she prayed the Lord would give him a dream that to know the daughter, everything was all right. So the husband was telling me that he went to bed, and the next thing, he was dreaming. And in this dream, he said it was like a reality. But he's coming down along, and this woman met him, and this woman, her hackles were up, basically. And I don't know where it was, a gospel meeting or what had happened, but her hackles was up. And she was giving a real telling off. And she said, I don't want to hear that rubbish about believing in Jesus. You young people don't need to hear about believing in Jesus and all that type of rubbish. And this fella stopped her. And he says, Mrs., I wanted to stop you right there. And he says, I just lost my daughter. She's 15 years old. She passed away in her sleep. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, as soon as he mentioned that name in the dream, his daughter come walking right around the corner to him. As soon as he mentioned the name. And he says, you've no idea how that helped me. But he says she never seen her till he told the woman. He told that woman in the dream. He says, you don't want to hear the name. But he says, that's the thing that gives me the hope to know my daughter's all right. That you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that, she walked around the corner. And then obviously, he wanted to tell his wife the dream. And it helped the two of them. It really helped them. That they know everything's all right. And Paul says here, Paul the apostle here, and Paul is an apostle from the Lord. And remember, when you read about Paul the apostle, you have to remember something. Here's one thing you have to remember. Paul says, never I received this of man, but of the Lord. So when you're reading these things that Paul's written, these are powerful things. And Paul was a special apostle. And special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. And he received special revelation from the Lord. So much that God let him have a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. That's the revelation he received of the Lord. And we have this word of truth tonight. And Paul was saying, while we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. And he says we're groaning and travailing because there's a part of us wants to be here, but there's a part of us wants to be with the Lord. And he talks about throwing off the old coat. Now I want to read you this from a message that is called Things That Are To Be. Paragraph 106. The old earthly tabernacle here, you know what it is. This body is like an old coat that you wear. A coat that you once wore, but you now have one so much better. You don't use it anymore. What do? You hang it in the closet, for you've got one better. You've got a better coat. It's more up to date than the one you used to wear. That's worn out, but it's that garment. You were the inside of it, that there. The garment only done what? It bore your image, see? But you don't need it anymore. You've hung it up. It's a rag. And that's the way the old body is. It's bore the image of the heavenly, yet it is not you. You're on the inside of that body. The Spirit of God is in on the inside of that body. That's what makes the outside come into subjection, because the inside is pulling it, see? Bring it in line with the Word of God, your inside, yourself, your being. The body is just an old coat that somebody will you do with it was only in the garment for a while. That is like the earthly garment, the body. Your real body, your real self is on the inside of this old coat that you call, and he mentioned his name and other names. Someday will hang in the earth's hall of memory. You'll put it out yonder in the grave, and someday we'll put it in a tombstone up here and say, Reverend so-and-so, and it'll lie there as a memorial of you. The people just seen you in this, and what you was, your real you, was on the inside of it, but the old coat itself, it's borne the image, it's gone. And you bear the image of the earthly, you shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now I want to go through this a wee bit tonight, and I know I've mentioned this before, and the first thing I want to you to consider is the words here that Paul the Apostle saying. And Paul says here, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, old coat, were dissolved. If it were dissolved, we have another one waiting. He did not fear himself would be dissolved. He had the slightest fear of that. The changing of the coat which he looked forward to is known amongst us by the name of death. That's what it is. And we heard this morning that death will come to every one of us as an appointment of death. But Paul called it the dissolving of the earthly house of this tabernacle, the taking down of the tent, the body, changing of the old coat. He doesn't say, if I were to be destroyed, or if I were to be annihilated. Paul never uses that language. He knows no other thing, you see. He feels assured that he himself is perfectly safe. Even though he knows he's facing death, he's safe. Because he's saved. And he's in the Lord. Paul has no fear of the sudden end. He's absolutely content within himself. And he's clear on this very thing. Now, I want you to read this again from verse 1. And I want to read it from the Amplified Bible tonight. And of the King James here as well, but it's just to get the wording of it. For we know of this tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, dissolved. We have won from God a building, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. You see, this physical body, even if you're raptured tonight, you're going to be changed. You'll not enter heaven the way you're looking now. I won't enter heaven the way I'm looking now. I can tell you that right now. Because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You're changed. Even if the rapture takes place, you're changed. Now you'll not have to do nothing. The Lord will do it. He'll take you as you are, but you'll be changed. And the old coat here will be dropped. In the sense, it'll be changed. And if you go to the grave, the old coat's laid off. When somebody's put in the grave, they're not there. That's the old coat. They're not there. They're going on to be with the Lord. The soul that's in a man's precious, and the soul saved. And you know that body, even when you go on, and I'll mention it later, I'll not jump the gun on it, I'll take my time with this and go through it. Now I want you to look at this tonight, you see, and I want you to see in this reading in your Bible, in chapter 5, the weeds. We. It mentions we a lot. Look at this, we, as all unharmed, unmoved. If our house were to solve, we should not be undone. So even if our house is dissolved, we're not undone. Even if we go to the grave, we're not undone. Won't make no difference. We're still going to be with the Lord. People have such a fear of dying and such a fear of death. But death for us, there's nothing to fear. We're going to go to be with the Lord. If we were to lose this earthly tent, old coat we have, a building of God eternal in the heavens, that's what the Bible says. You have a building of God eternal in the heavens. The new coat, the real man, the essential self, is out of harm's way. And all that he talks about is the falling to pieces of the certain tabernacle or tent, the old coat. Paul refers it to the tent because Paul was a tent maker and a tent mender. And our body is only a suitcase for the soul. It's only a tent tonight. And it's weak. I can tell you that. And if you think it's not weak, you're kidding yourself. And the least wee thing, no matter how strong any of us are, the least wee thing could lay us on our back tomorrow morning. Is that right? That's how weak we are. But do you see, there's something inside that's strong. Because you're born of the Spirit of God, you have a soul. That's why we're going to need all the gifts and all the power of God that's available to us while we're here. We're certainly going to need it, aren't we? You see, this old coat that we're living in now, many people are in a great worry and a fright to the future, yet they're here as the Apostle Paul viewing the worst thing that could happen to him with complacency. He's not worried about it. Not worried about it at all. He likens it to nothing worse than pulling down of a tent in which he was only dwelling for a short little season. Paul likens the going to the pulling down of a tent and erecting a new one. That's what he likens it to. And I tell you, people so worried here, even what they're going to wear and what they're going to put on, and they're worried about earthly things. And the Bible tells us we're not to worry about them things. The Bible says you're not even to worry what you're going to wear tomorrow or what you're going to do tomorrow. The Bible says tomorrow will take care of his own self. We're not to worry about it. But how many people today are stressed out? And every one of us, let's be honest tonight, all of us can get stressed out with the bills and the different things we have to pay and do. And we get stressed out and wonder how we're going to cope and what we're going to do. But see, at the end of the day, none of it matters. We're leaving here. The old tent will be pulled down. He was afraid of nothing beyond that. And if that happened, he had an expectation which reconciled him to the event. And even helped him to anticipate it with joy. He was rejoicing to go. Paul was not absolutely sure. He was absolutely sure that his body would be dissolved. He had hoped that it might be alive and remain under the coming of the Lord. And then he would be changed and forever be with the Lord without passing through death. And tonight, we're waiting on the rapture. We're hoping and praying we'll go in the rapture and we won't face an earthly death. But if we do face an earthly death, it'll make no difference. The Lord's still coming first. We're still going to be with the Lord. I want you to read 1 Thessalonians, and this is a well-known portion of Scripture, chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 of 1 Thessalonians. And I know a lot of churches don't believe in the rapture, and they preach against the rapture, and they think we're a bunch of loonies that we preach the rapture. But that's all right. They can say that if they want, but it's in the Bible and I believe it. Amen? And we here, let me say that here in this fellowship, we believe in the rapture and the second coming and the catching away. We believe in it with all of our hearts. And we believe that maybe we might even see death. We could go in the catching up. And the Bible talks about it. And not only can we preach it from the New Testament, we can preach it from the Old Testament. For any walked with the Lord, he was not, for the Lord took him. And he was the seventh from Adam. And we are in the seventh church age. So we know this is the age for the catching up of the rapture to take place. This is that age. And I don't see anything more to be fulfilled than the Gentiles. The coming of the Lord could go at any time. The Lord could come for us. And we could go to be with the Lord. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He doesn't say dead, he says asleep. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So you see, if you have a loved one that's went on to be with the Lord, they're asleep, they're not dead, they're asleep. You are not to sorrow about it. The world is sorrowing because of no hope. But if you're saved tonight, you've got hope. You've got hope. And I'll tell you, your loved one is in a better place than you or me are. They're with the Lord. And Paul clearly says, which is far better. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Maybe you believe you, but better stand here. I don't. I know we want to do what we can for the Lord while we're here. And I pray all the time and say, Lord, I want to be doing whatever you want me to do. And I worry sometimes, I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm not doing everything God wants me to do, but I want to. I want to do whatever he wants me to do. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Will God bring with him? Listen to this. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is a real word from the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, alive and remain, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and in the clouds, the angels, and we're going to go to be with the Lord. Now, there's a real mystery in all this. There's a mystery in that the body, the grave, the body goes into the grave, and the soul goes on to be with the Lord. But here's another mystery. Even though the body is in the grave, and even though the body's dead, when the catching up takes place, the graves are going to be reunited. God's going to do something, and them bodies are coming out of them graves. That old coat that's in the grave, something's going to happen to it. And something's going to... How many believes that? The Bible says it. It's a real mystery, but it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 52 says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen. And I tell you, there's people that will never die. It is true we have an appointment with death, but it is also true to make a statement some of us will miss it. For the rapture could take place and will never die, even in the natural. Isn't that wonderful? That's what could happen. If the catching up takes place, you might never go to a grave. You might never be a funeral. You could go to be with the Lord. And even if you do go to the grave, that grave is going to be open. And I don't mean somebody's going to come and open it. The body's going to come out of it. No matter if it's under concrete. And no matter, the Bible talks about them coming out of the sea. In all places, God will bring them out like a magnet. Like a magnet. Just as you run the magnet over the steel that's in the ground, or wherever it is, it just comes out. It's drawn to the magnet. And when the Lord comes in the air, they're going to be drawn out of the graves like a magnet to the Lord. It's going to happen. Them graves are going to be emptied. Them saints are in that were saved. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I tell you, and the dead's going to be raised incorruptible. So remember, they were incorruption to start with, but they're going to be raised incorruptible. They're not going to be in flesh and blood like they're in here, but they're going to be raised incorruptible. No more decay can set in. It's all been dealt with. And we know that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Still, Paul was willing to leave this in the Lord's hands. And when he saw it to be possible that he should be numbered amongst the blessed dead who die in the Lord, he did not shrink from the prospect, but he had hope. He had hope. The apostle received that the body in which he lived was a frail in itself. Paul was actually, a tent maker by trade. And the use of tents was common enough among the Roman people in Paul's day, and the gentry delighted in, bright pavilion tents. They delighted in it. They loved it. There's still tents today as well, even here. There's still tents. And Paul was a tent maker and a tent fixer. And they could set up tents for the pleasure in different places. And folk found pleasure in spending part of their time under the canvas. Whilst Paul was sitting writing this letter, it is problematically true that he had a tent or two to fix while he's writing it. There's Brother Ken Davison there having church tonight under a tent. They're in a tent. There's many Jamaicans been run under a tent, isn't there? So we know about tents in this country. The circus, when it comes, they put up a tent. But that tent's only temporal. It's only temporal. It goes up for a while and then it's tucked down. And we're living in a temporal tent. But there's another tent that's not temporal. And you see, this suggests us and proves us the language here in 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that of our earthly house, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Fantastic language, what Paul's preaching from his own experience on the scripture here. You see, here's another thing about Paul. This is the second thing. The provision of which Paul was, he most surely knew it. This provision was made in a revelation on it. He knew it. And you see, when people boo-hoo, if you like, oh, you preach the rapture and all, don't you? They've no revelation. That's the problem. And that's the one thing they have to understand. You can't show them it. Only the Lord can show them it. They've no revelation about it. But when you have a revelation about it, it's real. It's like a man or woman's not saved. Like that person and that canoe was a dream. But is it so true? Is there people that say to young people, you don't need the Lord and you don't need to worry about that. Enjoy your life. But the thing that gave that young man hope and his wife hope was the very fact that his daughter believed in the Lord Jesus. And then he could know were these scriptures absent from the body and present with the Lord. Paul knew that he would have, he had opened his eyes in a naked condition and cry, woe is me. He knew that would never happen because he believed in the Lord. He knew he had a tent, a new coat waiting him. When a tent is nearly placed in a frail structure, very frail, it's very frail compared to the structure of a house. The tent hasn't got the strength of a house. I want you to think of this for a moment now. A tent's frail. The storms we had there a few weeks ago, it would take an awful good tent to stand it. You could wake it in the morning and she could be in the field in pieces. My daughter had a wee greenhouse up and the next morning she didn't have it no more. It was gone. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that buildings, if they weren't too well put together, they'd be gone. But here's a hall built out of block and mortar, still here, strong. But we're living in a frail tabernacle, Do you realize that? Do you realize tonight that your body at its best is frail? It would take very, very little to lay me or you on our backs. And Paul knew that. And Paul knew what it was to suffer. And Paul knew what it was. He was shipwrecked and on the deep. He received the stripes of the Lord on his own back. He knew what it was to be near death. Paul knew it. And he knew he was in a frail old tent. God had a better one prepared for him. And he was hoping to leave the one he was in to go to the better one. He knew it. You see, this feeble frame that we live in, which can be crushed to dust in a moment. Paul felt and knew that his body would not need any great force to overthrow it. It was like an old tent, an old coat. Our bodily strength is nothing really. No man can predict how long he or she will last in this frail tent that they live in. No idea how long it'll last. Anything can happen. We've heard over recent weeks and months of different people, different things has happened to them. You know, I could tell you of different men and new strong men, but they're not here tonight. Because they're living in a frail tent, a frail tabernacle. But it's great to be saved. It's an awful thing if a man or a woman's not saved. But if they're saved, there's hope. 1 Peter 1:24 to 25 says this: for all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word of the Lord, which by the gospel is preached unto you. The flower comes up, and it's blown away in the wind. And I tell you, we're only for a short time. Our life for its best is a short time, isn't it? We're allotted 70 years, and then 10 more by reason of health, that's 80. And then when you reach 80, after 70, you're on the 10-year bonus. And if you reach 80 by God's grace, then you're even on a greater bonus. Not the truth. But what is it? It's nothing. And I tell you, let me say this to you young ones tonight. When I was a young fella, about 15 years of age, and somebody in their 40s or 50s was saying to me, you know, Tom, as you get older, the time goes quick. I didn't know what they're talking about. And I used to think to myself, that old boy doesn't know what he's talking about. But now that I'm that old boy myself, in my 50s, I know exactly what they're talking about. And you know, when you're young, 50 sounds really old. But when you're in your 50s, you think you're still a young lad. It's not that old. But time goes quick. Time goes quick. And it's no time from this year come in, and it's almost gone out. We've only another few weeks and this year's ended. And where's it went till? Time shall be no more. That's why we must work while it's day, for the night cometh and no man can work. You know, we're almost at midnight in this scriptural sense. And the Lord's coming. And I tell you, it's a sad thing tonight. It's a sad thing, but it's so true. The Bible says in the last days, it doesn't speak so much about revival. It speaks about a great falling away. And I tell you, we're living in the days of great falling away. We're living in the days when people's not interested in the things of God. And look at the laws that's been promoted. They promoted the murdering of the unborn baby. They promoted the murdering. Somebody's sick, just give them an injection and end their life. Is it euthanasia, the name they use for it? But how could somebody make that decision? And I know what it's like when somebody's suffering. I've seen it firsthand. And there is times, you know, where you'd maybe think you'd love to step in. And when you pray and you don't think your prayers has been answered. But then you have to go to the book of Job and you have to say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job held on because he could see beyond something greater. Brother Guy read from Job this morning about the tree that is cut down, but it can bud again. Job preached the resurrection, you know. If a man dies, shall he live again? Absolutely. Paul knew that he had a father in heaven, for he felt the spirit of sonship. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are the sons and the daughters of God tonight. There's a spirit in us that's not in the world. And that's the spirit of sonship, where we can cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, verse 5 to 7 says this: to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of a son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir with God and through Christ. We're heirs with God tonight through Christ. position tonight in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not to worry about down here. The thing that, I don't want to say worrying about it, but the thing that should concern me and you this evening is our loved ones. We should be concerned for their salvation. And I believe a lot of Christians, they're not concerned. They're not interested in serving God. Let's tell the truth about it. The least wee thing and they'll be sitting in the corner. No interest. You doubt whether they're saved at all, half of them. And I tell you that lots of them, it's like the old boy used to say, a lot of people's confession, but there's no possession. And a brother preached this morning about the trees, and there has to be a fruit on the tree. Everybody's claims are in Christ, but there's no fruit. It's not the truth. You know, the Roman Catholic that goes to Mass, they say they're Christians, but what do they class as a Christian? There's other people who say they're Christians, but what do they class as a Christian? Except the man's born again. Cannot see the kingdom of God. There's one real Christianity. That's when you're in Christ Jesus. Paul knew if he put off this old coat, this tent, and in which he had lived, he was sure he'd be welcome into the Father's house above. You know, I want you to think of this, and I wrote this here. You think of your own children this evening, and I've children, you have all children, and even if your children go off, and they do their own thing in the will. And you can do what you want with them. But when they come of age, you cannot control them. I'll tell you that right now. You can't tie their arms. I have children tonight that I'd love to be in this meeting. But they're of age. I can't go over the night and lasso them and bring them in here and tie them down. It doesn't work. The Spirit of God has to move them. That's who has to move them. But I want to tell you this. No matter what they do, they're still your children. Isn't that right? And your door's open. And no matter what they've been through, what takes place, they can come to mommy and daddy's house and they're welcomed in. And that's the way it is with us as children of God. We have a house. We have a Father in heaven. And no matter what we do or where we've been, we can come to the Lord. He's a place for us. He actually says, I've went to prepare a place for you. Look at the prodigal son. He was backslid. He was away from the father's house. But one day he came to his senses and he decided to return. And he said to his other son, you'll get the best calf and the best clothes. The other father wasn't too happy about it. What do you think you're doing? I've been here the whole time. He says, no, you've been with me. But he says he was lost. Now he's found. And I tell you, I know the door's always open for them. And we have a place with the Lord. You see, the childhood's instincts teaches them that our house is their home. Just as a chicken runs under the mother's wings. You don't train the chicken to run under its mother's wings. It's an instinct. It's an instinct. And no man comes to God. It's the Spirit of God that moves on a man. It's the Spirit of God that moves on a woman. It's the Spirit of God that draws a man. It's the Spirit of God that draws a woman. I never got saved because I decided, well, you know, I'll make myself good and I'll get saved. I remember in Bonbridge Courthouse, Arthur Downey's went on now, was my solicitor. And I remember him in his words. He was explaining to the judge. He says, Mr. McKinstry has undergone a religious experience. And the old judge hit the desk with a hammer. And he says, that would drive me clean up them walls. That's what he said. And he hit it again. And he said, 3 months in the Crumlin Road. And I near fell out of chair. 3 months. For a car offense, 3 months. I near fell clean in the chair. Once religion was mentioned, he said, that would drive me up the walls. And then they said, did I want to say anything? And I said, I did. I did want to say something. And I stood up and I told that old judge. I said, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But whether you believe it or not, I have turned to the Lord. And I said, I want you to know I haven't got religion. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I want to tell you, it's the policeman that was there that day. When I was in jail, it was the winter. And I wrote him a card from the jail, from the Crumlin Road jail. And I wrote on the card, and his first name's Isley. And I said, Isley, I'll not be back here. I've got saved. I'm serving the Lord. But I says, Isley, you never done the things I done, but you're on your way to hell anyhow. And I says, you need to get saved just like I need to get saved. But you know, I heard the news that a few years ago, Isley got saved. And I'll tell you better not. I met him some time back, and I stopped to talk with him, and he stopped, and he says, Tommy, I've still the card that you sent me from jail. You see, you don't know what God does. Paul the apostle held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. Paul was numbered with murderers. Paul was persecuted the Christians. He was against the work of God. But God met him on the road to Damascus. And a bright light shone on him and blinded him. And he fell down on the horse. And he said, who art you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you, it's an orwee thing tonight. And I want you to, you know all about me, but I'm going to tell you this anyhow. You think of it for a car offense, for running nobody over or nothing, 3 months. But you think of the perverts that's running them streets tonight, and the old judge never said any of them, it would drive me up the wall. He never even jailed them. But I was jailed for a car misdemeanor. And I'll tell you one better. I could have argued that I wasn't even driving it, and they could never have proved it. Because of the dark glass in it, tinted glass. And there's no way no policeman could have seen who was driving it through the dark tinted glass. But because I was saved and serving the Lord, I wouldn't tell a lie, even though it meant getting jailed. And I remember saying to my dad, Dad, what am I going to do? Because if I admit to it, I'll get jailed. And my dad said, there's the Bible. And if you're going to stand by that book, you know what you have to do. And I admit it to it, and I got jailed. But you see, there's an or law. All these boys that think they've got off on all the murdering that's been done in this country over the years and the day gone by, and they think they've got off. Here's another thing people forget. When the unsaved go into the grave, that's not just it. They're coming back out of it. Want you to know they're not staying in hell, and they're not staying in there. There is a day of judgment that they come out of hell. And they're going to stand before God, and they're going to be judged. Then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is a second death. They're not going to escape. And all the things that people's done in secret that they think nobody's seen, God sees it all. Sees everything. In the Lord, wonderful. I'm going to come to close in a moment. John 14, verse 1 to 6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, for in my Father's house so many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. There's no other way tonight. The only way to heaven is the door, and the door is none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the tabernacle in the wilderness, you could view it from afar, but there was but one gate into it, and the one gate represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Pope of Rome can say whatever he wants. He can say it, he's done it. Come to me. You don't need to come to Jesus, but he's lost. And all that believe him's lost. For Jesus is the only way. We're like Paul the Apostle in this matter. We're not just hopeful, but certain. Therefore, we can say we know. We can say we know. Paul says, I know, therefore have I spoken. Amen? We know. And I tell you this, people will be quick to tell you, I don't want to hear about Jesus. And they'll be quick to tell young people, don't listen to that nonsense. But they're not so quick to tell them about other stuff. And if you work in a work site or anywhere for this people that's unsaved, you know the type of talk that comes out of their mouth. You feel unclean when you come away from it. But I tell you, there's a place called heaven. And there's a thing called holiness. And I tell you, God's people's a holy people. Amen? They're a holy people. We're not homeless wanderers tonight. We have a home. We have a father. We're not illegitimate. We've got father tonight. God. Thank God we have a home. Paul knew what we should all know, that he had a big brother and his name's Jesus. Amen? Heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ, a lodging for those who would yet follow, remember Christ, our big brothers, the first fruits of the harvest. And there's other fruits to follow. There's first fruits, there's other fruits. Going to read you this, and then I'll have to close. The time's gone. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6 to 11. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even, excuse me, unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may be also obtained the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful sign, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Amen. We're living because of him tonight. We have to close because the time's gone. The Lord's coming again. And I tell you, and this is as much for me as for you, but we're not to be too worried about things on this earth. We can be so worried about our house, about our car, about all these things. What one difference will it matter anything about it? Think of this evening. If the rapture took place before the end of the week, you'll not be worrying one thing about it. You'll be away. That'll be it. I'll tell you another thing. There'll be no more time to come back either and say, we should have told him, or we should have told her about the Lord. Now's the time. Now's the time. Never miss an opportunity for the Lord. Let's stand our feet tonight. We're going to pray, and our brother Mark's going to come and praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. You know, maybe somebody in this meeting, now what every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you've gone through troublesome time. Nobody knows about it. Maybe you've been praying about it. I tell you, if you need prayer tonight, I want you to lift your hand up to the Lord. Every eye's closed. Every head bowed. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to believe the Lord tonight. And every one of us is frail. But thank God for his strength. And our weakness, he has made strong. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your strength. Lord, forgive us when we worry and get caught up with the things of this earth. Help us to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Pray for the hands that's raised tonight in this house. Maybe someone as well tuned into the service online. Asking you, Father, that you'll answer for them, that you'll meet their need, that you'll help them, bless them, and strengthen them tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we'll think again of our sons and daughters that's away from you tonight. Lord, we can't save them, but you died to save. We asked you for them. We asked for mercy and grace, that you'll move on that young man, that young woman, that young boy, that young girl. Draw with them and strive with them and bring them to yourself, to the saving knowledge of the truth. Pray you'll help each one of us to live a life worthy of the gospel. Forgive us for failures, for shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, when we speak, when we shall be listening. Help us to be your servants with a life worthy of the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless everyone in this house tonight, from the youngest to the oldest. Bless them and strengthen them and do them good. Touch those that need a touch on the body this evening. We know that it's by your wounds, your stripes, we're healed. We thank you for your healing tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory. Bless us now, Lord, and have your way amongst us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you, as our brother Mark comes.
Thank the pastor for the word this evening. It's the truth. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is after that rapture, it's a tribulation period, and after that, 3.5 years, that's not a time you want to be on this earth. It says those that endured until the end were saved. Many thousands of people will end up giving their lives because they'll seal their testimony with their own blood during that period. That's why we need to keep our family and our friends in prayer every day that the Lord would save them. We'll sing that 1305. Under the burden of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting this evening? Amen.
Under the burden of guilt and care, life eternal.